why we glorify the notion of choti si aasha, which has become part of our popular culture, and instead encourage children and youth to have badi si aashaye, so that they're really fulfilling their potential as individuals, as a community, and as a nation. Sustainability initiatives deliver value over the long term when brands are able to invest in it consistently for reputational upsides. It will rarely be able to deliver a return on a quarterly balance sheet. So brands should think carefully about starting on this journey unless they're able to see at least a 3-year investment cycle.
The India PR Show is a video podcast series. We dive deep into the strategies, the stories, the triumphs of communication and marketing experts who are shaping the narrative in one of the world's most diverse and rapidly evolving markets, India. Today, we are talking to Girish Balachandran. He is the founder of On Purpose, a communications company committed to move the needle on social change in India. In the podcast, Bala shares why he started On Purpose, reaching the $1 million revenue mark, his exceptional team, the role of comms in driving social impact, and the secret to his success. Tune in now. Hi, Bala. Thank you so much for joining us today on the India PR Show. It means a lot to me that you are here today.
Thank you for having me.
Before we dive in into the conversation, can you share a bit of your backstory? How did your professional journey begin?
So I'm a Delhi boy who dropped out of St. Stephen's because I wanted to be a chef.
Okay.
But then I failed my first year in hotel management because I wasn't very good at it. I then traveled for 18 years across Lucknow, Calcutta, the Middle East and the UK before I returned to India because I'd seen Zindagi Na Milegi Dubara a few too many times.
Wow.
I switched to PR post my MBA in the UK and got to work with and learn from some of the biggest networked agencies in Omnicom. And I had the privilege of working with the world's largest woman-owned tech PR agency, for whom I looked after client development across UK, the Middle East and Africa. I started On Purpose in India in response to my own crisis of purpose and to quell that little voice in my head that's kept asking, is this how you want to spend your time in life?
That's so beautiful. I don't think so. There are so many people who still probably don't know what their purpose are. And for you to have discovered it and started a business is fantastic. Bala, you founded On Purpose 6 years ago, 70 people strong, offices in Bangalore, Bombay and Delhi, and network partners in Indonesia, in Singapore, in Vietnam, and in so many other countries. So what were your milestones through the journey?
So I can recount 3 major milestones. I think the first one was hiring my first team member, Srishti Sharma, because that meant I suddenly had a responsibility beyond myself to fulfill, you know, a career path for somebody who had put their trust in me. The second was being shortlisted as one of the top 5 agencies in South Asia by Provoke Media in our 4th year, when we were still less than a tenth of the size of some of the bigger giants we were shortlisted alongside. And third was last year when we crossed our first $1 million mark. A lot of bigger agencies probably hit that mark sooner. But for us, it meant that there was proof that you could build a business focused on social change and still build it in a sustainable way.
How do you differentiate On Purpose with any other agencies? And just the context also being that a lot of global companies have separate divisions on social impact, climate change, right? So what is it that differentiates On Purpose with anybody else?
So On Purpose was started to use the power of communications to drive social change. And that's been our focus. So we've chosen to specialize in working with individuals and organizations who've committed their lives to making a difference in climate action, public health, education, and gender. That's what differentiates us.
creating a movement is at the core of what On Purpose does. Can you share an example of a movement that On Purpose created, and how did that pan out for you?
It's tougher than we thought and still very much aspirational. The closest we've come to is to work with an NGO that focuses on ending gender discrimination to get the Ministry of Information and Broadcasting and the Central Board of Film Certification to call out scenes of gender violence, much like it does for scenes of smoking or alcohol consumption. More recently, we've been discussing, a narrative to help make leaving a toilet clean and dry after use a normal thing.
Oh, that's basic, yeah. But yeah, no, I totally understand what you're saying, yeah.
But it's very early days and there's a lot of work to do.
Bala, how do you guide brands in articulating their purpose and connecting with their audience more authentically, more deeply? How does that happen?
It starts with deep listening. We've been most successful in engagements with clients when they've been supportive in the time and effort it requires to develop empathy for the audiences that we're trying to reach and engage. And that means really putting ourselves in their shoes and understanding what a day in their life looks like, how they consume content, and what influences them when they actually make a purchase decision. Second, it's really about having courage to break a stereotype, redefine a social norm, and try and bring people together around a shared sense of belief and purpose. Something as simple as questioning why we glorify the notion of choti si asha, which has become part of our popular culture, and instead encourage children and youth to have badi si ashaye so that they're really fulfilling their potential as individuals, as a community, and as a nation. So it really comes down to challenging the status quo and then having the staying power to hold your ground against naysayers.
What do you do when brands come to you with no real intent to bring about a change, but they want to work with you to build that imagery or the perception? So I'm sure there are many brands that you come across like that who've really not reached that place where they have a bigger goal, but they want an imagery around it. So what do you do in that scenario?
As a bootstrapped entity, I think we always have to get the balance right between profit and purpose. And if the purpose is going to be low, then we want to make sure that the money is worth it so that it helps us fund the other purposeful work. And if the firm is known to be an active green husher or green washer, we actively avoid it. There are firms that are involved in mining and deep sort of ground exploration, who have approached us every sort of single year. And every year we find, new and creative ways of saying no.
Could you give an example of one of those? Maybe not.
No.
Sorry. I am good. The team at On Purpose comprises of a very diverse set of people. People from ex-Goldman Sachs, radio jockeys, storytellers, content creators, people from sales. How have you selected such a diverse set of people for your team?
Very patiently. It's evolved over the years. I think when we started, we welcomed people from outside of PR, from creative industries, or those who were passionate about social change and could learn to work with things like showing up on time and actively communicating about timelines. As we've grown, we're now more focused on experienced professionals who worked in agency environments and bring a certain level of process, structure, and a skill set that clients will pay for.
What is the relationship between social change, climate impact, and communicators? What is the role or the responsibility that communicators have today?
So I'm very passionate about this one because I firmly believe that communicators need to recognize the privilege that we have in the power of our craft to influence world narratives. Unfortunately, we've also played a significant role in strengthening climate change narratives by creating reasonable doubt on the science that has proven that climate change narratives have been around from the early 1970s. PR agencies have made millions of work in working with organizations lobbying to discredit the evidence provided by scientists. So today there's an active industry debate on whether or not PR agencies and communicators can effectively counsel brands on their position on climate change, and cancel instead of counsel is winning. That is, in the choice to work with or to avoid working with fossil fuel firms, PR agencies are actively choosing not to. In fact, On Purpose and Vero, our agency partners in Southeast Asia, are two of the first agencies in Asia to have signed the Clean Creatives Pledge, which encourages agencies to refuse to work with fossil fuel firms.
Talking about the delicate balance between being profitable versus being sustainable, because I think the profitability probably happens over a very, very long time, right? So what is that balance that, you know, when you are advising brands, what is it that you kind of try to tell them between this whole balance between profitability and sustainability?
So ESG is the new buzzword in our industry, which basically sets out a framework within which an organization can communicate, not just communicate, but also initiate first and then communicate, you know, the work that they're doing in environment, social and governance initiatives. Today, ESG has given us a framework within which an organization can actively initiate and communicate its initiatives towards, you know, environmental, societal, and government governance issues. However, ESG today is also becoming a bad word in corporate America because shareholders are actively questioning the value of sustainability initiatives that take away from the bottom line. Sustainability initiatives deliver value over the long term when brands are able to invest in it consistently for reputational upsides. It will rarely be able to deliver a return on a quarterly balance sheet. So brands should think carefully about starting on this journey unless they're able to see at least a 3-year investment cycle before it starts showing returns by attracting investors and funds who are keen on supporting ESG-friendly stocks.
So coming to, you know, what you said, there are companies who don't see ROI. And I'm sure in Indian context, there would be a lot of companies that would be coming to you for pro bono work saying, I'm doing this for the environment, climate, so you should also, you know, do this. So how do you deal with such asks?
Very diplomatically. As a social change focused firm, we're often approached for pro bono work or work with lower budgets, sometimes even by corporates. Since our second year, we've committed to our own CSR through what we call the Purpose Project, where we select a worthy NGO for pro bono work based on the strength of their application or our team's resonance with the cause that they're supporting. Last year, we signed an MOU with Dasra's Rebuild India Fund, where we've committed to help support the communications capacity building for 500 NGOs over the next 5 years, pro bono. We've reached and engaged with more than 75 over the last year and have another 400 plus to go. No pressure.
Lovely. Bala, any communication today has to be backed with factual impact, right? Or we call it evidence impact. And in this time, there is also the greenwashing, the pink washing, there is a rainbow washing. So what are these? And can you talk about, you know, evidence impact-based communication and these words which are around?
So in a rush to join the bandwagon of woke companies, brands are falling prey of virtue signaling through communications without really having done the groundwork to address issues internally. You know, whether it's the flooding of rainbow-colored social media campaigns around Pride Month, giving women a chocolate and a rose on Women's Day, instead of actually designing work policies that recognize them as primary caregivers, the photo ops of tree plantations, you know, while companies plunder and pillage and displace tribal people from their lands in the name of economic development, all of that is, you know, basically a game of smoke and mirrors. The challenge is further exacerbated by the steady erosion of independent media and the depletion of checks and balances that could keep the public informed of the context behind what's being communicated externally. So I think as individuals, all of us can help by maintaining a healthy skepticism, you know, verify facts from more than one source, think twice before forwarding that, you know, that piece of information that came on WhatsApp without checking it from another source. These could be small steps that could just help us avoid becoming players in this whole game of misinformation and disinformation.
Bala, globally, leaders at the World Economic Forum are talking about honesty, openness, empathy, and most importantly, the legitimate engagement on major issues such as climate change, equity, and health. How is that happening for India?
So India is quickly becoming a platform to reflect global South narratives in world narratives around areas such as climate change. Our per capita consumption of energy is a fraction of what it is for developed countries. And year after year, the need for billions of dollars in technology and accelerating a just transition in developed nations is discussed at the COPs that happen annually. However, the financing and the money required has just not been delivered. And of course, we continue to be heavily dependent on coal to keep the lights on, keep our children in school, and provide a basic quality of life that countries in the West have enjoyed for long. So it's important to recognize these differences and respond to these calls for engagement on issues like climate change, equity, and health with a lens that recognizes these baseline inequities and addresses them over a one-size-fits-all approach.
What are those social impact-driven metrics that small companies can use?
So just looking at the example of ourselves as a small business, we've learned that social change can and must start at home. Metrics can include things like employee satisfaction rates, pick up an adoption of employee-focused policies like period leave, parental leave, mental health counseling, diversity and inclusion training, volunteering hours, community initiatives, and contributions to social causes.
With ESG becoming an integral part of business strategy, what is the strategy by communicators, and what are the don'ts here that communicators should remember?
So first, have a defined ESG strategy. Have defined budgets and buy-in from the top management. Don't appoint an ESG person without direct reporting to the CEO. Don't have an ESG program without allocating budgets for it. And don't give the responsibility for ESG to marketing or communications. It must be owned by the C-suite.
So a lot has changed in the last 6 years. If you had to start On Purpose today, how would that be?
On Purpose has been a joyful experience, mostly. On a daily basis, it feels a lot like pulling hair and herding cats. But the bigger picture has been beautiful. Right from when we started as a founding team of three people, Srishti Sharma, Dhun Chokar, and me, to where we are today, I would happily do it all over again if we could relive the joy of the first 5 wonder years. This time with a lot more confidence that things eventually work out in the end. And if they don't, it is in the end.
Bala, you are a successful communications leader. What 3 traits do you think is very important for a communication leader to have today, in today's time, I mean?
So I got lucky with timing, being blessed with fabulous mentors to have learned from, and now some really fun, you know, ambitious people that I get to work with. Over the years, I've come to rely on my strengths, and one is tenacity in, you know, not giving up. The second is not feeling shy in following up on payments from clients for work that's already done. And the third is, I think it's the privilege that I've given myself to be able to choose what I do instead of being miserable working for someone else. A sort of gift that I've given myself as On Purpose.
If you could break down one of your most successful PR campaigns on a blueprint, what would that look like? And if you could share as many examples and stories with us.
So I'm a big believer in the need for the PR industry to become much better at measurement. But at the same time, I believe the best and most successful PR campaigns are the ones that don't require to be measured, because you can just feel it in the way in which people respond to it. You hear about it from places you least expect to, and it genuinely moves people to think and act differently. I'll give you an example. We've been working with Antara, which is a part of the Max Group. They're a senior care provider. We've been working with them for the last 3 years to build a brand in the category. So today when we say the word Antara, and my 80-year-old landlady says, the one in Dehradun, I know we've done a good job.
Bala, what books, podcasts, any resources that you go to sharpen your skills? And I would be so interested to know, you know, what are those that you kind of continuously read?
I'm probably going to disappoint you, Nidhi, but as a true Gen X, my wife and I receive 5 newspapers at home. I start with the Mint. I love their style and their op-eds. If I have time, I'll browse through the Times of India to see what most of the nation is reading. The Deccan Herald, interestingly, has the best headlines. I subscribe to The Economist and I have the FT Edit app on my phone. I get a lot of news prompts on X, and I'm also a paying subscriber to The Ken and The Morning Context.
So how many hours of consuming active content that you do?
Active content, news content or
news content?
News content. I think subconsciously, I probably spend an hour a day, you know, whether it's reading the email prompts or it's the news alerts on X or the physical newspaper.
So, you know, what does a Monday morning, obviously Mondays are supposed to be chaotic, but what does a Monday look like for Girish?
So it starts with 5 minutes of playtime with Maya, our four-legged child, before I sort of quickly move into work mode, and then it becomes very businesslike. Our first call is at 9:15 in the morning with our executive team, which is the senior most in the company. And we go through a very meticulous list of action points that were discussed the previous week and how we've progressed against that. And of course, priorities for the week ahead. On Mondays, most of us work from home. Lunch at 1 p.m. is a thing at On Purpose. It's in our signatures. We've sort of made it a thing because we wanted to ensure that our teams have lunch on time so that it doesn't impact their physical and mental health later. So we've actually put it in our signatures and I'm very proud of it. Other than that, so post-lunch, there'll be more calls. And today, in fact, I'm heading to the Leela for an evening with Vijay Amritraj, who's recently been inducted into the International Hall of Fame for tennis. So there'll be a little bit of networking and some wine and snacks.
Thank you, Bala, so much for joining us. I think this session was really, really insightful. I loved to hear so much about the work that you're doing in social impact, your approach to the work that you're doing. So wish you all the very best and thank you for sharing all of that with us.
Thank you, Nidhi. I really appreciate what you're trying to do for the PR industry in India. And, you know, initiatives like this are much needed. And I hope that we will continue to bring great content for the Indian PR industry and really, you know, show the world what the Indian PR industry can do. Thank you.
True to that. Yes, thank you.